Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, June 15th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. We will be reading today from the Big Book. We're on page 86, third paragraph down at the bottom of the page. It begins with "In thinking about our day," and it ends on the top of page 87, we come to rely upon it, and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And our readers today are Kathy B. for the 12 Steps, Nina R. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Margaret D., Eileen M., and Sherry Z. The share ID for Wednesday, June 14th, the 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, is 20,353. That's 20353. And for Thursday, June 15th, the earlier meeting this morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 20,355. That's 20355. And our newcomer greeter today is Lorraine N., and our announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service. Our preamble: Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. I am Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you, Kathy B. And now I will ask Nina R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Nina. Good morning. I can't hear you, Nina. Press star one.
Can you hear me now, Ma?
I can. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Nina R. from Anorexic Lean from New York. The 12 traditions. One, a common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in a group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise with problems of money, property, and prestige diverge from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create special boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you very much, Nina. Reading the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 86, the third paragraph down. It's the bottom paragraph of that page. And it begins with in thinking about our day. And it ends on the top of page 87. With we come to rely upon it. And I will now ask Margaret D. to get us started. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for your service and for being here this morning. My name is Margaret D., and I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater and recovered only through God's grace and mercy. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. So here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax. We take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, and we come to rely upon it. So this paragraph has how it's been incorporated in my life. It's a paragraph that is very, very much textbook, absolute textbook. in the first sentence, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. That's the presentation of the problem. The next part is, or are my instructions for what to do if, you know, when the problem appears. I ask God for an inspiration, an intuitive thought or a decision. I relax, I take it easy, I don't struggle. So what's an inspiration for me? What is a spiritual inspiration? Well, I think about God. What do I know about God? One, God's alive. He always has been, and he always will be. Another inspirational thought is, hey, you know what? God knows everything. Another one is, God can do anything. Another inspirational thought that's helped, God can be everywhere, all at the same time. And this is coming out of a pamphlet that I've got. And the pamphlet says, at this point, these are the important differences between God and us human beings. That's right. I can't be everywhere all at the same time. I can't do everything. I've not always been or always will be. But when I think about this, I am inspired to trust my higher power. This is a concept that I really can trust. Here's another really simple one. God is invisible. We can't see him or touch him, but God is here. He's with me right now. He's beside me. He surrounds me. He fills the room or the whole place where I am right now. He's in me right now. He's in my heart. Another inspirational thought. God cares very much for me. He's interested in me. He has a plan for my life. He's the one that made me. He's the one that's got the plan. He has an answer for every need and every problem that I face. Two more, God will always tell me whatever I need to know. He's not always going to tell me everything that I want to know. Certainly, he will tell me everything that I need to know, because why would God not help me do whatever it is that he asks me to do? Now, that might be, you know, a human being that would do that, but my understanding of God is that if God asks me to do something, I don't have to understand it or anything else, but I can rely on the fact that the tools or whatever is needed will be there at the right time. And wow, that went by really fast. I'm sorry, I don't have enough time to go over the rest of the paragraph. So I guess with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Margaret D., for getting us started. And I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 86, the bottom of the page, the third paragraph down, thinking about our day. Ending on the top of page 87, we come to rely upon it. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will now take the names of those who'd like to share on this paragraph.
Jody E.
Jody.
Stephen G.
Stephen, was that? Stephen G.
Stephen G.
I got it, Stephen. Thank you. Anyone else?
Susan M. from Florida.
Susan M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Joan Marie.
Joan Marie. And one more.
IOA from Southern California.
IOA. Okay, IOA from California. We'll stop there. Everybody mute except Jody E. The names I have are Jody E., Stephen G., Susan M., Deborah G., Joan Marie, I think it's M., and IOA. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo and everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. I love this paragraph. It's a great paragraph. It has one of my favorite sentences in the book, which is, we relax and take it easy. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. I need to relax and take it easy. And I can, because I have turned my will and my life over to the care of God. What better reason to relax than to turn everything over to God? Everything. And yes, when I'm not sure what to do, I can pause. I can pause and ask my higher power, however I understand that higher power. And I may not even understand it very well, but I can still pause. I can take a deep breath or two or three, and I can relax, and I can ask my higher power to show me what is the next right step for me to take. What is the next right thought or action for me, my higher power? I'm confused in this moment, or I'm not sure, and I stay in the present moment. And I only take one step at a time. I look right down at my feet. And I only have to take one step at a time. And I can usually see where to put my foot for that next step. That's as far as I have to go, one moment at a time. I don't have to see around the bend of the path. No. I only have to see right in front of me. And God will show me where to put my feet one step at a time. So it's really not so hard. And indeed, over time, as I practice this, I get better at it. And more, I'm on the plane of inspiration. And I can tell I'm on the plane of inspiration too, because my life starts to go better. Things are easier. I get little indications from my higher power that I'm on the right track. I'm going in the right direction. I get blessings. I get beautiful people come into my life, beautiful opportunities. And I take those opportunities because I'm no longer afraid to do what I think God would have me do, because I know my higher power's there. And indeed, if it's God's will, I will have the strength I need to do that thing. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Up next is Stephen G., followed by Susan M. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks a lot for your service. Thanks a lot to the previous shares, which are just great, and welcome to the newcomers or people coming back from relapse. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And this is a great example of the instructions in the book of how to live it. This is assuming that I've put the food down, I've cleaned up the wreckage of my past in steps 1 through 9. In step 10, I'm continuing to watch for emotional disturbances so I can keep unblocked. And now I've got access to this infinite power, infinite intelligence, infinite wisdom, infinite love. And the book is instructing me to use that. My natural way of thinking is, when I don't know what to do, is to go round and around in self-centered, obsessive thinking and rely on my limited, finite human powers. And the book is telling me now not to do that. And this is one of the greatest challenges that we're going to have in life. What should I do about this? What should I do about that? And the book gives us instructions here. It also gives us instructions in the chapter, how it works, in the part about sex relations, where it says, counsel with others is sometimes wise, but we let God be the final arbiter. So I don't know what to do. I pause and I go to God. God, what is the right thing to do? And sometimes the right thing to do is to get some feedback from a few different people who I trust, but then I go back to God and I ask God, what should I do? And in every indecision, I find there's always a bit of fear. I need to make the right decision. What if I don't make the right decision? And so I have a step 10 process to unblock me from that fear, go back to God, relax and take it easy and wait for God to give me guidance. And this is just such an important and freeing set of instructions for me. And yeah, I'm so grateful for it. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you, Stephen G. from Canada. Up next is Susan M., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much, Susan, Recovered Postal Reader. Grateful to be here. And yeah, this is one of my most favorite parts of the book. Relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. That is the best ever. So, and it's helped me so much in every facet of my life. You know, I do 10 steps throughout the day. And when I'm sitting here grabbing and snatching at results that I think I want, you know, I'm called to relax and take it easy. You know, I pause when agitated or doubtful. It helps me with the tone, you know, within which I'm supposed to live my life. You know, it's not supposed to be crazy and like, where are the results and why aren't you doing better? Because that's certainly what my disease was telling me. You know, why did you eat last night? What happened? And, you know, how are you going to analyze this and figure this out? And what can you do differently? You know, and what's wrong with you? And, you know, like the whole thing, it's nope, stop, talk to somebody, do a 10 step, do my prayer and meditation in the morning, do my nightly review, you know, like kind of just treat myself gently. And I'm grateful for that. Yeah, it's changed my life, this book and directions in it. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Susan M. Up next is Deborah G, followed by Joan Marie. Good morning, Deborah G. Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everyone's service for making this meeting possible. And welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here and able to live this way of living. This morning, okay, so I got caught up in more investment with one's recovery, sponsee's recovery, than theirs. And I got into the insanity. Plus, I woke up this morning, you know, with that untreated ego mind, which didn't help, and jumped right in, investing more, you know, and starting to feel crazy in my head with what was going on with them and just all of that. And so it was so beautiful to be able to do the AM prayer this morning. And I hadn't done that before. See, that's the thing, jumped in before doing that AM prayer. I wasn't in that space, in that connectedness. I was off in the head morning, the ego morning. And then I called my sponsor, put a call in, because the head was going crazier and crazier because of that whole behavior with it. And so then I did my AM prayer, and then I did the next right thing for my day, and I got a text from my sponsor with a reality check. See, because when I'm in my head, I'm not in that God consciousness, that centered place with God. And that's where I want to be. So when I get stuck, I want to get unstuck to get back to that place. And, you know, listening to her text about being too invested. And also, I need to do a 10 step. I'm going to do a 10 step with that because I got so far off the beam. Oh, I'm so grateful for this program that now I can do that work and relax. And she reminded me, just wait and see what happens with what I had shared with them, with her, and see, you know, the beauty of that. Oh, I can breathe and relax. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah G. Up next is Joan Marie, followed by IOA. And after IO, I'll be taking another list of names. Good morning, Joan Marie. Press star 1 to unmute. Joan, I can't hear you, Joan Marie.
Well, I'm talking away, and okay, here I am.
Joe Marie M. from Nevada. And thank you, Mo, and everyone else for their share so far. I mean, it really keeps me on track. And for me, what really stood out, nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, become more and more on a plane of inspiration. We come to rely on that. Because my thinking got me in trouble all the time. Every decision I ever made before in my life was out of fear. Fear that I wouldn't get something, fear that I would make a mistake, you name it, all kinds of fears. So today, I know that if I start out my day with prayer and meditation, listening to vision, following the steps and living the steps, and keep in contact with my sponsor, doing outreach calls, and everything I need to do. So when I'm unsure, I have a big project on my lawn here. And so, you know, I had to trust God that I made the right decision because I asked for it. And I believe when I ask for it with the motives that are right, God answers my prayers. And so with I pray through the day. When something comes up, I recognize a wrong attitude, a wrong thinking, and, you know, and then I immediately pause and ask God to relieve me of that. This time around, I've learned that I had a lot of self-seeking and selfishness, and I didn't think that until I did the fourth and fifth step again. So more is being revealed day and day. If I do what I need to do, stay in contact with the God of my understanding, who knows a heck of a lot more than I do. He knows people's hearts, he knows people's motives, and he knows mine. So if I trust him and keep on conscious contact with him all through the day, I'm going to make the right decisions because I've asked for it, and I believe I, when I asked, I received. So thank you so much for letting me share. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joan Marie M. And before I take IO, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 86, the bottom of the page, third paragraph. It begins with, in thinking about our day, and it ends on the top of page 87 with, we come to rely upon it. And after IO, I'll take another list of names. Good morning, IO.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. I'm IO, compulsive overeater from Irvine in Southern California, and I'm very grateful to be here. I've been reading this just about every day for 108 days, just about. My sponsor turned me on to this app, and it has you read this. And I'm so grateful because I'm just barely in step 10, but I've been reading about step 11, and it feels so good to have a reading that I'm very familiar with because I've been doing the footwork. So one of the things that I realize is that I used to be one of those people who felt like I had faith, so I wasn't looking for a higher power when I came here. But I used to say that I was willing to give the Most High everything except, like, the stuff dealing with food, where food had become an idol. And in working the steps, what I actually learned is that I wasn't giving the Most High everything but food. I was hardly giving him anything, to be honest with you. My family, we structure our life around the Ten Commandments, and I used to actually have pride that I could, like, go through the commandments and see, like, where I hadn't broken any commandments intentionally. And it's been through working the 12 steps that I realized that I am dishonest, that I lie, that I covet, that I have a lot of idols. And it was just pretty amazing to see that it wasn't that all I needed was to, you know, let the Most High have food in this addiction. It was everything. It was that I was not content in my role in this world, that I wanted to actually have His role, that I wanted to control people, control things. And I've been really amazed by the idea that I should go over the 24 hours that lie ahead and be very intentional in asking for relief. One of the problems I really have is in making people and things idols. And it comes out in people pleasing, and I hear people talk about that. And I've had to make a big change in my program. It's left me feeling very vulnerable. But it's also left me feeling like I am relying on the Most High for everything I need in life. And I'm just grateful to have a place to come talk about it, grateful to have people helping and who show up. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, IOA. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Liz A.
Liz A.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. Anyone else?
Barbara W.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Yvonne A.
Okay, that we'll stop there. On A. I have Liz A, Annabelle Z, Barbara W, Wendy M, Deb E, and Yvonne A. Let's see if we have time for everybody. Liz A, get us started. Thank you.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Liz A, recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thank you, Mo, for your service and everyone else. You know, when I first started working the step, I would read, ask God for inspiration, and then what I would do is I would just like go into my head and think that whatever thought popped into my head was inspiration. And, you know, what I found is that was really just my mind, you know, going off and doing what I wanted to, self-will. And it wasn't until I realized that I didn't quite know what inspiration meant, I looked it up, and it comes from the Latin word inspire. And what that means is to breathe in. And I thought, oh my God, you know, and it also, it has to do with hope. And so that's where I learned to pause, you know. I didn't know where the pause, you know, Bill is always speaking certain words in different ways throughout the book, and it's a pause, you know. I learned that I can pause, get quiet, ask God to remove my self-will, and then ask Him for a decision. And it's amazing. It's amazing how it works. It comes. Automatically, it comes. And I know that it's not my head, because sometimes it's not something I want to do. And so I'm really grateful for this book, this paragraph, every word in this divinely inspired writing of Bill's. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A. Up next is Annabelle Z, followed by Barbara W. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Mo and the fellow visionaries. I'm Annabelle Zastro, and I'm recovered in the state of Washington, a compulsive eater. And I just, these pages, I've been, someone mentioned earlier about the app, and I just downloaded this app. I forget what it's called, My OA Tools or something like that. And I just did this like 2 days ago. And I've been doing it, you know, like writing in the evening, having the thing, and in the morning, it does have these pages. And already I'm feeling just a different level of connection with God, I guess it is. Like, I love what the person before me just said about inspiration needs to breathe in, to inspire. And it's like I'm not just breathing and calming down. I'm actually breathing in God and the ideas of God, like opening my mind to the ideas of God and breathing in the breath. You know, God put breath in human beings from the beginning. If you're of that kind of faith, I believe that. And so if I'm just going to sit around and run around, I'm like breathing really shallow. Like, what's next? Oh my gosh, what do I have to do? Okay, does that person like me? Does that not person like me? You know, and instead I just get to have a real deep breath, but it's like a spiritual breath. Like I want to have you in my brain, God. I want to have you in my heart and you in my mind. In the previous paragraph talk about God giving us brains to use, right? And we can use our mental faculties with assurance. And here it's like I'm allowing that brain to be not only divorced from self-pity and dishonest and self-seeking motives, but also to be now I get rid of the junk, I can breathe in. Okay, what do I run on then? You know, if I'm not going to be selfish and fearful, what do I run on then? And I mean, there's that place where I go, I don't know. You know, and so everybody said so far, and I haven't written my book, practice, you know, after we've tried this for a while, this takes, it's a gradual, it gradually becomes a working part of the mind. It's something slow and it's built upon over months and years of doing it, but it's, I can't let up and just say, oh, you know, I did this the other day. I did this last week. Yeah, I've done the 10th step, you know. And I really, it's a constant, we talk about the 10th step being, you know, writing out, you know, kind of like a 4th through 9th, but it's this is also the part of it where I'm literally going, okay, God, what do I do? What do I do now? And sometimes God says nothing. And to me, my sponsor once said to me, if I don't have that immediate answer, just do the last thing God told you to do. And the last thing God told me to do is usually trust me. So I'm kind of in that place of just trusting God. And yeah, that's all I have. I'll pass. Thanks.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Annabelle Z. Barbara W. followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, fellowship friends. My name is Barbara W., and I'm from the state of Washington. It is so wonderful to be here. This is one of my favorite parts of the bid book because, honestly, it had been a struggle. I mean, how do I do 10 steps? Am I doing the right 10 steps? Is my mind really in tune with God, or is it me forcing my will on some decision I have to make? Recently, I had a challenging decision I had to make or work I had to get done for a car repair. And I realized the more I relaxed about it and the more I prayed about it, the decisions came. I did call friends in the fellowship, two of the most trusted people I know in my life. And they helped guide me through it, not by telling me what to do, but just being there for me and calling back a couple hours later to say, how are you doing? You know, do you feel this is the right way to do it? And are you trusting God? And that working part of the mind, when I am, I've been abstinent now for a little over 6 weeks, and it's things like that. it reminds me to trust God and to stay in touch with my OA fellowship. I mean, I listened to the power of this meeting today and all the shares that have come and I've heard. And I am so grateful. It's just like, I guess I could call it a teddy bear. It's that comfort. And here I lay in my bed with my cat at my foot of my bed and the dog right next to me. And it reminds me that I'm not alone. These furry beings are constant reminders of God's presence to me. And I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara W. Next is Wendy M., followed by Dev E. Good morning, Wendy. Press star 1, Wendy. Can't hear you. Are you there, Wendy? Okay, we're going to skip over Wendy and we're going to go to Dev.
I think I figured it out.
Oh, there you are.
Hiya. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovering. Oh, wow. Thank you, Mo, and all of you for your service. I don't think I've been on this line in forever. So, you know, the miracle is that I even got on the line, that I pushed pound or star 1 to even say that I would talk, because I want to look good. I want you guys to think I've got it all. Well, I don't. I've been in this program 21 years. I've been in the food for about a year and a half. God, do I want to look good? And 20 pounds overweight, don't even want to say that. Why am I on the line? Conscious contact with God. I still get on my knees every morning and I still do 10 steps of all things, and I do 11 steps, send them to my sponsor. So it's like one of those clunky things where I'm sort of in it and sort of not. But the bottom line is, I needed to pick up the phone and I needed to share. It's so funny, even reading this on Awakening, I'm like, oh my God, I used to read this every morning, or I'd listen to it, a talking version of it. And I forgot it even existed until I got on the line this morning. But of course, I mean, it's so good, right? Intuitive thought or a decision. I still actually get those, even though I was in the food. I still got inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision, plane of intuition, inspiration. We come to rely upon it. That still actually happens, which is crazy. But I'm not recovered, not even close. And I got a sponsor last night. Thank you, God. And I'm listening to two special editions today. So it's just, you know, keep doing it. The more I take an action, the closer I get to God. The less I take an action, the further away I am from God. Of course, relax and take it easy. You know, I was a big reactive. Somebody would do something, I would have a big reaction to it. And somebody said recently, in terms of the pause or relax, take it easy, is like, when you get reactive, just take that very slow, intentional, deep breath in, and then very intentional breath back out. And it slows down my nervous system. It slows me down. And I actually have, this is going to sound weird, kind of more control over the situation, although we don't have any control, but more control over the situation, so I'm not reacting. I'm not like just a wild moving animal, you know, just doing and saying whatever I think I have to do and say. And that, it says we don't struggle. What a promise. These are promises. We're up in the process, have the right answers come. Yeah, it's just beautiful. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Wendy M. We have Dev E. and Yvonne A. If you each take 2 minutes, We'll fit you in. Thank you. Debbie.
And hi, Mo. Thanks. It's Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I feel like this paragraph is exactly how I was feeling about a half an hour ago, right before I got on the meeting. You know, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. I feel like that's very kind and generous to say we may. I always face indecision. I feel like I face indecision on a continuous basis. But my solution for it is to turn to my higher power. When I'm really, like, not centered enough and I just feel like I'm spinning, like I was, but, you know, right around the start of this meeting, I need to just, like, more than pause sometimes. I need to just, like, stop and redirect myself to my higher power and to spirituality. And I was like, I already wanted to get onto the meeting today, but I was having one of those moments where I was just, like, spinning, and I was like, I just need to stop everything I'm doing and connect, you know, to my higher power, whether it's through a meeting, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through writing or making a reach out call. And it really works. And there's something about, like, I just find, like, in the, you know, in the world of the spirit, there's no time limit. So my mind wants to convince me that I don't have time to pause and I don't have time to stop and take time for my program practice. But every time I do, time opens up for everything else. It always happens that way. And this is just another reminder of, like, if I can just, you know, stop and focus on what's important, which is my, you know, conscious contact with my higher power, being on that spiritual plane, not being in that, you know, monkey mind of like, oh, I have this to do, I have this to do, I don't know where to start. It really helps. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Deb, for keeping it to 2 minutes. And Yvonne A., you'll be our last share. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone else on the line. I just wanted to take a quick share this morning to say this is something that I thought I was never going to understand or was going to come to fruition in my life. It just felt so foreign and so far away to be able to face indecision myself and put my trust and reliance in a higher power. And now that I've been, you know, abstinent for a while, it just amazes me how I recognize that feeling, the physical feeling in my body when I am in my own will, the cyclone that starts to build fairly quickly. It's small at first, but the churning starts. And I feel, as soon as I feel that feeling inside of my core, I know that I am on the wrong track and I have to get paused and reconnect with my higher power. And it is amazing. And sometimes it's not about knowing the answer at all. It's not about having an inspiration. It's just about the trust that comes, because there is nothing I can do. I can't control a situation. I can't fix the situation. I have to not be attached to an outcome. And the more I can just let go of all of that, the more inspired I can be. And I think I'm just going to keep it really simple with that, Mo, and let us wrap up for the morning. I hope everyone has a blessed and awesome day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yvonne. That was just beautiful and perfect. Thank you very much, everyone, for your shares. Great meeting, as usual. Thank you all for giving service and for being on the line. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Eileen M. to please read a vision for you. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.